$625,000. The 9-week meet runs from July 11th through September 7th, with racing every Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday at 1:45 p.m. Wager on Colonial's 50-cent pick 5 with a low 12% takeout and a new carryover provision. All races will be broadcast on TVG this summer. Colonial Downs, racing Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday at 1:45 p.m.
Who are you betting on? How about an app created specifically for horse racing? Naira Bets. We specialize in thundering hooves, fist pumping, and boosting your bankroll with robust weekly promotions and offer betting tips from actual horse racing experts. Bet all day and night, nationwide. Get the action and thrill of horse racing with Naira Bets. $200 deposit match with promo Steve200. Visit NairaBets.com for details.
The Pons family's Country Life and Maryland Farms are the place for breeding and racing in the Mid-Atlantic. Country Life is nationally recognized for making stallions and currently stands the Mid-Atlantic's leading first and second crop sires, Divining Rod by Tappan and Mosler by Warfront, as well as Frisian Fire. Maryland's 5/8 mile training track completes the full service facilities from the folding barn to the racetrack. Join the excitement of racing with Country Life Farm, where our partnerships can take you from beginning to winning.
Want to get your career in horse racing off to a fast start? Well, the University of Arizona's Racetrack Industry Program is your winning ticket. The Racetrack Industry Program has served as a springboard to some of the industry's most successful individuals, with a proven track record of job placement right out of college. If you want to earn a degree in the exciting horse racing industry, the Racetrack Industry Program can put you in the winner's circle.
Visit ua-rtip.org today.
Why, in the past decade, has BRL Equine become the premier equine supplement company in the industry? Because we spend millions in research and development before we ever put out a product. Because we use only FDA-supervised facilities to manufacture for us. Because what we say is in them is in them. Because they work. Because if you're not happy, I'll give you your money back. And because top trainers and veterinarians in thoroughbred racing, standardbred racing, three-day eventing, and barrel racing all trust in BRL Equine. Shouldn't you? To find out more how Flexify HA, Unlock, Bleeder Shield, and EPO Equine can help you, contact me, Joseph Vellante, 215-501-6880.
Horsebills.com is a cost-effective, time-saving paperless revolution. Vendors are able to generate electronic invoices for owners and other vendors who can pay through Horsebills.com for just 50 cents. Turn hours of work into minutes with our easy-to-use site. Have our team take over your bookkeeping or continue to do it yourself and pay only our low monthly subscription fee. Check out our video tutorial on the Horsebills.com YouTube channel and get started today for free. Horsebills.com. Toll-free number 888-938-4643.
At the races with Steve Bick. And horse racing, handicapping, interviews. This is At the Races with Steve Bick.
We're back, and top of hour three, busy, busy morning, obviously, and we got tons to do yet. Thanks to Joe McKay, Smoking Joe with a note, he saw where McPeak team member or ownership. Butterbean, I guess, got nicked up and will not be participating at Parks, is staying in Saratoga. So that's too bad. And I can tell you from the way Chris was formatting Butterbean's try here, she really has got what they commonly call, as in sheet methodology, a classic 02X pattern, where she had a career best effort, which came in that mile race at Prairie Meadows ahead of the Iowa Oaks win. And she actually, even from a buyer standpoint, she paired up 89-89. But on a sheet figure, on Thoroughgraph, she actually did regress. And she went from an O, from a zero, flat zero, right, where'd it go? I had it right here. Went from a three-quarter to a 3 3/4. So it's not a perfect O2X, but then she absolutely reacted in that third start. So by all rights, in, if you're a sheet reader and a sheet user, you would expect that Butterbean's coming back toward a good effort after the coaching club appeared to be a little too much for her off those two big efforts at Altoona. So, Altoona, you can tune a guitar, but you can't Altoona fish. Rich Migliori standing by. And, Rich, I heard yesterday about a very exciting item that people can bid on tomorrow at the TRF barbecue at the barn. One of the auction items is Rich Migliori cooking for eight for you and seven friends, or you and your spouse and three other couples. This will be the most valuable, right? This has got to be the most valuable auction item ever.
Well, thank you for saying that. I hope that people are into it. I'm excited about it. I'm pretty confident in my culinary prowess. And I think it would be a lot of fun. You know, obviously anybody that's going to be interested in Steve is going to be interested in racing and, you know, be passionate about it. And what better way to connect with people through, you know, good food and good conversation, good company. So, I'm hoping that it sells well, and I'll look forward to doing it.
Explain to everybody how this works. Do they all come to you and Carmella, or do you go to their house?
Okay, so, talking with Tim Weir, the Bobleys, Sue Bobley and her husband, would love to kind of host it at their place. And they have, what I understand, all intents and purposes, a chef's kitchen. And, we'll all meet there, kind of talk about the menu. Because it's going to be next summer, when this will take place. Kind of like a summery menu. I'm thinking like a really good fresh garden marinara sauce, a tomato sauce, if you will. Maybe some roasted eggplant incorporated, nice marinated grilled chicken, beautiful burrata and mozzarella salad to start. I've got like stuff that'll be very conducive to being able to cook and entertain without being harnessed to the stove, right?
Yeah. Well, and there's probably some things you could even do. Like when I have our summer party, in fact, we got the kids coming this week, so I've got to do a bunch of cooking for Friday, Saturday myself. But I get things, certain things out of the way, 48 hours ahead of time, or marinate, the certain prep work that you can clear off, so you don't have to spend every second exactly harnessed to the stove.
Yeah, no, exactly. And I do this at home quite often because, we have the garden. I'll go out to the garden. I'll pick some beautiful tomatoes. I always have, sweet onions and staples in the cupboard. And I'll take the onions, slice them, olive oil, salt, pepper, roast them on a baking sheet. Take the tomatoes, slice them, olive oil, salt, pepper, and a little dollop of tomato paste on each, and roast that, and then get some Rotelli going, maybe roast some eggplant, incorporate your Rotelli into a rough chop of the onion and tomatoes that you've roasted with the tomato paste, shred up nice fresh basil out of the garden, incorporate it all with some good Reggiano Parmesan cheese, and it's like a beautiful summer garden tomato salad, tomato sauce. And it's really easy, and it's so fresh and vibrant because it's like right out of the garden. So I like doing stuff like that this time of year because it really showcases what you've grown in your garden, and it's just really, really simple.
I've got to give you my summer pasta recipe, which is a crudo, a raw tomato, essentially, with garlic and oil and basil, and then you just pour hot you know, a hot penne brigate over it, and there's all diced mozzarella in there fresh, and the heat from the pasta, you end up just sort of having the mozz glom on and adhere, you know, to the penne, and there's this raw sauce that it's, you know, you can serve it at room temperature, you can serve it pretty warm, but it's specifically a summer pasta. It's fabulous.
Yeah, see, I like stuff. I'm very much a seasonal cook. Like, I'm actually, finally, we might be getting some serious rain today in the Hudson Valley. I got my fingers crossed because we need it badly. But I just pulled up to Adams Fair Acre Market. I'm going to go in and kind of look around. I'm thinking maybe doing some kind of braise tonight because it'll be if it's like a rainy night. But, you know, like I said, I'm very much a seasonal kind of a cook. And I think this would be so much fun, just to get people together nice. That have a shared passion. And listen, and we're raising money for the horse. Like the mystery tours have been fantastic this summer. I have one Thursday morning and the last one the following Thursday morning. And Steve, people have just really enjoyed them. We've had such a good time, and I've met some really nice people. Like I've gotten as much out of it as the people that have taken the tours. Because I've met genuinely good people that love racing, love horses. So it's been a lot. If I still got to get you out there, I missed you the one morning. You and I have been running crazy all summer. Been very blessed all summer and looking forward to a strong final 2 weeks.
Well, they are sold out tomorrow for the TRF barbecue at the barn, as anticipated the last time we talked to Kim Weir about 10 days ago. However, when it comes to the auction items, like having Rich cook for you, they're taking proxies for bids. So TRFinc.org, go to the website. I'll send out the link again, and you can bid on. There's all kinds of wonderful things: tickets for sporting events and barn tours and memorabilia and just the usual. For those of you that have attended these ever, you know what goes on. There's a constant market, a trading market of racing memorabilia that gets circulated. People take stuff out of their collections, they put new stuff into their collection. And other people get to take on something. There's photography. I know Skip Dickstein's got pieces that are available as part of the auction as well. So we're kind of winding down, obviously, on charity season. Thursday, of course, there's also the BCCA, the Belmont Child Care Association's fun party that is always a highlight. One of the biggest balls that is always casual, never, and I really should get Libby on to give one more push there as well. Rich, I won't keep you too long because I still got to get to John Dooley and Jessica Paquette and more, but we also should get you hooked up with Wayne Catalano. You and Catman have to do a throwdown. Maybe we'll get Bobby Flay to officiate.
Yeah, that would be fun. You know, I always feel bad, like, because Bobby is up there, you know, on vacation, and that's like his almost break away from the, food industry, right? And then, you know, we're always trying to drag him into stuff, and he's so generous with his time. But now, listen, Catman can cook, and I find him a fascinating character. I mean, he's closing in on 2,000 career victories. 3,000 career victories, and he rode 1,545 winners as a jockey. And conventional wisdom, and there's obviously notable exceptions, were the better the jockey, maybe not as good a trainer. He was a very good jockey, and he's an even better trainer. And so I have so much respect for him. I think our strengths in the kitchen come from, you know, little different places, but I think they could complement each other well. I tend to lean a little bit more, you know, classical. Like I'm maybe even going to do a Coco Van tonight, right? You know, so I'm like, this is going to be a 3.5 hour process to, you know, braise my chicken properly with red wine. And I actually do it with, I incorporate some prunes in there and stuff, which is kind of interesting. Which I actually thicken the sauce with, and it actually works really well, Steve.
Sure.
How about Saturday night, right? I had roasted garlic, and I made this roasted garlic compound butter, and I was going to make something with it, and I wound up, I had just a baguette from Mrs. London's, and I wound up smearing this garlic compound butter on it. When I got halfway through the baguette, I was like, people I work with are really not going to appreciate this tomorrow. I was like, I tweeted out, I apologize in advance because I knew
I saw that.
wasn't as bad as I thought it was going to be because I guess I did mellow the garlic with roasting it. But yeah, I got a little carried away there.
I love it. I saw that actually made me, and I know exactly what you mean. Tina's a big victim. But when the garlic, whatever, she loves it. But I can always, you can always tell. It's very funny. And our man Freddie Moe is asking, where did you get the, did you find a rooster? The was one of your own roosters for the coq au vin?
No, well, I'm not going to go that far. We did that one day and we processed our own. I wasn't a big fan of it. It was a bit much. And, you know, Adam's Fair Acre Market, they're all over the Hudson Valley, are
sure.
Really, really good. And honestly, I wait before I make my final determination on what's on
sure.
The menu until I see what really, you know, grabs my attention. Also, we're not far from Sharon Market over in Connecticut, and that's a really good fish market over there, really good butcher in there as well. So I'm got all my chores done, got my errands out of the way, my responsibilities, and now I'm going to spend the next hour preparing for, you know, figuring out what I'm going to cook. And that's the beauty of coming home on the dark days. I can relax and just be home and be present. I've loved being up there. I loved the place I rented this year. Being 100 yards from the paddock has been a blessing. I walk out in the morning. I have my coffee. I visit with everybody. And, Steve, it's never lost on me how blessed I am that I get to live this life. That since I'm a little kid, I got to come to the greatest place in the world, Saratoga, for the summer, and the relationships I have there, and the people, and obviously the horses.
Well, it's been it's been an idyllic summer. We got a little bit of weather to get through this week, but right now Saturday and Sunday, Travers Day, right now it looks like 82, 84 degrees and sunny, and Sunday as well. So it looks like the penultimate big weekend is shaping up well. Let's take a quick glance at this past couple of days. And, Rich, Nest comes in, and you know that she's the very, very likely winner. But one of the real defining portions of this weekend was, the three top three-year-old fillies on a main track, on a turf, and on synthetic. They all performed not just to expectation. They ended up exceeding expectation when we're talking about Nest, Spenderella. We just talked to Graham. We talked to Kevin Attard about winning his first plate with Moira. This was a unbelievable showcase of three-year-old filly talent this weekend, and Nest kicked things off with a plum.
She's just extraordinary. She was kind of waiting for the challenge from Secret Oath. You saw Irad take that look back, and he saw Secret Oath there, and had to carry her out, had to put his signature stamp on it. But then the way Ness just dropped her shoulder, leveled off, and kicked away from her was very, very impressive. I thought Secret Oath would run a better race, and I think she did run a better race than she did in the coaching club. She had trained better up into it, but I just. First Saturday or first Friday in May, she was, Secret Oath was better than Nest on that day, but Nest has put a lock on the division. She's just extraordinary. She's special. And she seems to thrive on work. The weight she carries out of her races, she's a filly that really enjoys what she's doing and is enthusiastic about it. So that was special. Moira, man, she's really good. 38th filly to win the Queen's Plate. I didn't. Maybe you have that. How many have won the Oaks and the Queens Plate. The Woodbine Oaks and the Queens Plate. I didn't have that stat.
Well, I mean, there's been a steady parade, you know, particularly of late. I mean, the last 15 years, I bet you there's been five. Just thinking about Josie Carroll's Philly did it, obviously, and this one, and Wonder Gadot, I think qualifies, right? Did she win both? Here, let me just go to the plate. Start with the plate. And we'll look down the list. So Moira, Wonder Gadot, Holy Helena, Lexi Liu, Inglorious. That was Josie. Those are the those are five since 2011.
Wow.
And now they didn't necessarily win the Oaks, but several of them did. Here, I'll tell you that too right away. Here you go. Woodbine Oaks. Let's put them side by side. Moira, Holy Helena, absolutely. Lexi Liu did. Inglorious did. So actually, Wonder Gadot didn't. So four of the last five Philly winners of the plate won the Oaks.
Yeah, I mean, it's just phenomenal. And she was special. And Spenderella was very good, got a terrific ride. Tyler Gaffleone. And Tyler Gaffleone, to me, is the perfect prime example of just how deep this jockey colony is, because he's as good a rider as anybody. He dominated Kentucky, but there's only so many good horses to go around in Saratoga, and so many good riders, and you're going to have, you know, four or five contenders in a race, and, you know, you might get shut out of you know, having the ability to get on those horses because they're looking for, you know, Irad or Joel or whoever it may be, and guys that ride here year-round, but obviously more than capable. And then he gets off the plane, and that's a tough commute. I'm going to tell you right now, Del Mar to Saratoga is very tough because you got to catch a red-eye into Chicago. You land in Chicago at like 4 a.m. Then you got to wait until about 7 to leave Chicago to fly to Albany, and then Albany, you know, drive up to Saratoga. And one year I fell asleep waiting on the flight. I put my tack bag up on a chair and laid back. And next thing I know, the sun's streaming in my eyes, and I'm like, oh no. And thankfully they were just closing the door and I made the flight. But that's a tough commute. And he got off the plane looking, you know, bright eyed and bushy tailed and had a good day yesterday. So, you know, it's been fun watching this colony. I get frustrated. I'm a little tired of guys thinking, you know, race riding is one thing when it's actually another, and what's become acceptable and to me takes away from horses' efforts when it makes it about the rider more than it should. You know, when you're on the best.
Rich, I thought we lost you there.
No. I just said that, like, guys doing all those gyrations is a tired act to me. It's horse racing. It's not jockey racing.
Well, they're actually, yeah. I'm not going to get sidetracked because we got plenty
sure
to do yet. But I know. What was your call on Echo again? We historically, Rich, we've had so many 2-year-olds, you know, that get that moniker hung on them, the Harvey Pack fastest horse in the world moniker, and it's nice to have one actually come out and come through.
Well, you know, it's really interesting, and you watch that race, and we've seen, you know, 2-year-olds win by big margins, and, you know, wow, that's impressive. Watch his stride. His stride doesn't deteriorate one little bit. Like, when a horse should be showing some signs of fatigue and his mechanics aren't as flawless, you didn't see that with this horse, Echo Again. He almost looked like he was getting stronger. His legs were up underneath him. His form was still impeccable. He finished through the wire with his legs up underneath him. And to me, that was like so catching. I've seen horses win by 10, and you know that, well, they were all in, and they were just, this horse was still just perfect, his rhythm. And that's very rare. You don't see that a lot. You saw it with Damon's Mound breaking his maiden. I got to meet for the first time Michelle Lovell coming up the set of the show with Seth Merrill on Sunday morning, and I was thrilled to meet her and so happy to have the opportunity to tell her that Damon's Mound it makes me feel like I did in the 70s when I was a kid falling in love with racing. He's that kind of horse, like a throwback kind of horse that, you know, sitting in behind the other three with his head bowed waiting for Gabe Sayers to turn him loose. So I think we've got some very good 2-year-olds, but man, Echo again, he was impressive because of what I'm saying. You know, if you could put aside margins of victories and just concentrate on a horse's stride and the mechanics of their stride and how it didn't deteriorate, to me, that was really impressive.
Well, and Michelle came just perilously close to sweeping again a second stake win with change of command, who got a little bit mired inside and had to wait for, you know, a avenue of egress in that Smart and Fancy. And not to take away from Caravelle, but frankly, if change of control is either posted a little bit, you know, more toward midfield, or gets a smoother flow to get off the inside, probably wins that race. And in fact, you know, John Nichols, he said to me, I think on Friday we were texting back and forth, and we were talking about the weekend and putting together kind of a finite ticket, between the Lake Placid, the Smart and Fancy, and the Alabama. And he said he was worried. I thought the change of control was way the horse to beat. And he said, I'm worried. He said, this is a filly that likes to be outside of horses, one of those that's better when, you know, running around rather than inside. So John was right. It probably cost her the opportunity to win.
She ran huge, though, and that's one of those things too, where there's such a difference between a bad ride and an unlucky ride. That was just such an unlucky trip. You know, like Colby Hernandez did all he could with the post he was in and the position he was dealt, and did well to extricate himself from the trouble, like leaving the 3/16 to find a path. And Caravelle just was well posted and got the trip she needs. But I agree with you. I think she was best, just a little bit unlucky. I tell you what, I did have an awesome week hitting exactas this week. Like, that became my bet this week, and I crushed that exacta. I hit an exacta earlier in the week that I still can't believe what it paid. It paid $33 for a dollar. I made a $20 exacta box, and it was like the second choice over the third choice, and it paid $33 for a buck.
Nice.
And I was blown away, you know. So, you know, there were a few. How about the on the turf, the favorite over the second choice, $13.90 for a dollar. I had that for $20. I was like, I mean, where's this
Look
been my
you.
Whole life?
Unbelievable. Richie, I'm glad we got a chance to connect. I'm going to grab you. I'll be broadcasting Wednesday, Thursday, Friday from the track leading into Travers Day. So let's get a Travers opinion or two from you. One of the days you're not there's no production meeting or you're working late or something, when I can catch you live on, because I haven't had you live on on the air sitting with me.
Okay, well, yeah, absolutely. I'll be back Wednesday morning. Thursday I'll do the tour. Maybe I'll hook up with you Thursday after I do the tour. I've got one. It'll be done about 9:30. And Friday I'm going to Dominic the Barber down in Albany Shaker Road to get my hair cut, so I'm out Friday.
Perfect. I do have Lafitte already lined up for Friday. He has committed to a Friday live, maybe even a little bit of a co-hosting, because he's off on Friday. And so maybe we'll get the voice will
so
join me.
He's really
right?
Great.
Yeah.
He's amazing.
Rich Migliori, everybody. Mig is amazing. Mig4450 on your Twitter. Let's press forward because we still got tons to do, and I don't know if I'm going to be able to get it all done, but I do want to get Jessica Paquette in here because we're running out of what? We got three more. We have 22, 29th, and Labor Day, right? Three more of the Mid-Atlantic, Monday Mid-Atlantic pick fours, but there's also stake action that's coming. And at Colonial, so we want to slip that in. There's actually a jump, bit of a jump stake today as well. And let me reach for the PPs. And then I got to get Dooley in here. We're in big trouble, to be honest. I've managed to. That was a lot to do. Let's be honest. Come on. The stake today, there's the little hurt. It's not a stake. Well, it is a stake, right? It's 100. Yeah, there it is. The $100,000. And of course, the one thing about these, races, the way Colonial's got this set up, where it shows up, they show up as the 10th and the 11th, but of course they're being run, you know, at the start of the card. So here, let me, there we go. We'll see what, you know, I've also struggled knowing which of the, for whatever reason on the PPs, you know, where they have that little masthead, that tells you, you know, what the wagering menu is. For whatever reason, they show it, they're showing it on the Monmouth PPs, but not on the Colonial PPs. And so I've had to sort of guess, in some cases, which of the Colonial race is involved. And that's been a little bit of a challenge, honestly. So we'll get it from Jessica, and we've got her now. Jessica Paquette, good morning.
Hey, Steve, how's it going?
Jess, good morning. Occurred to me that when I put up the listing today for the show on Facebook and Twitter, I can use that fabulous shot I got of you and Susie Rasher on Saturday.
How fun was that? It is, you know, Susie's one of my best friends, and there's nothing more fun than a day of races with one of your friends that you've known for a million years, thanks to Kids to the Cup.
Well, and of course, Kids to the Cup, as we talk with Johnny. Johnny's going to be here this week, of course, with Will for Travers Week. We'll have live Johnny D, which is going to be fun. Well, for you, I wanted to at least touch base because we've got the Monday Mid-Atlantic Pick Four to touch on again, and then we've got the jump stake. Are you calling the stake?
I am not calling the stake. I'll leave that to the professional this week.
Yeah. All right. Well, the pick four, which of the two races, Jess, are going with the Monmouth races?
The Monmouth is race 5 and race 7 from Monmouth and race 7 and 8 from Colonial. Monmouth, I believe,
right,
is off the turf. They've had some rain.
They're off the turf?
As far as I know, but I can tell you it is beautiful here in Richmond. It is sunny and perfect here.
Very nice. All right. Well, give us a couple of thoughts, either your races or anything you want for today.
Well, I'll stick with the Colonial races. I'm a little more familiar with these horses. I think there's some real value in the second leg of the State Atlantic Pick Four, that is Colonial Race 7. I like horse number 3, Mississippi, coming out from Michael Gorham. I know, I'm a little bit of a sucker. I always take these old stuff in connections when they show up at Colonial. But the Gorham barn's been live. They've only sent a couple of horses in. One last week, like, way outrun his odds. And I think this horse I think this horse on the turf is really interesting. I knew her last race wasn't that good, but her prior form, if you forgive that. I think he has a big chance and will probably get a little bit overlooked. I'm also going to use Moon of Love, another big price here for Carl Gambolata. I've been knocking on the door with decent horses. Form is solid enough, I think, to hold his own. And I think I'll throw in number 8, Upside Down, for Larry Ravelli. I mean, connections that need no introduction. Maybe and Jared Loveberry has been very live. This horse has a ton of speed. The turf court does play, I think, extremely fair, but Loveberry is really sharp on these horses on the front end.
Wow, that's a 10-1, a 12-1, and a 10-1, Jess. Very nice.
Let it never be said I'm afraid of taking a long shot.
No, 3, 5, and 8, some combination thereof. This is a 10-claimer, non-3, and the field seems pretty well bunched. It also, I should tell everybody, this is the third leg of the 12% takeout pick 5 that starts with a maiden 16 with race 5, and it's a very attractive sequence. 13 by 9 by 13 by 13 by 13. So you better eat your Wheaties. What about the 8th race?
Flag, I'll be happy.
Exactly.
So the 8th race, a couple of my top selections. My top selections, Grass Down with Dr. Rack, and I also like a big long shot to 9, Zelenin. So the 8 and 9 are out. I am very happy to default to number 3, Cabbage to the Wire, for Karen Godsey. This is a local barn that does a really good job. I'm also going to use Ubiquitous Tech off the layout for Mary Leitner. I think there's a lot of upside coming in, you know, with a race under his belt. And that Gulfstream form has held up reasonably well this year.
All right, so I lost you there for a second. I didn't hear your little faint on me.
Oh, I'm sorry. Multitasking like champion here. So I'm going to use the 3 and the 4. Ubiquitous second off the layout for Mary Leitner. I think it's pretty interesting.
Okay. So Tap It to the Wire. 8-1 as the 3, the 4. Ubiquitous 10-1 with Louis Reyes. All right. Anything else on this slate?
I think this is good. The model race, I'm going to have to go back to the drawing board a little bit if they're off the grass. Really competitive sequence. Just coming off the turf does change my thoughts a little bit here.
Well, Jess, wanted to touch base. Got a couple of these remaining after this week. The Monday Mid-Atlantic pick 4, and they've been fun. And then, of course, if the off-the-turf situation at Monmouth kind of throws people off, then focus on the 12% takeout pick 5, races 5-9, and a really good sequence. And then I mentioned the jump stake. You've got a very nice group that goes as the second 1250 post for the Randolph Rouse 100,000, and nice mix. Arch Kingsley in here, and Kerry Breon, the Lizzie Boss, Leslie Young. Kerry's got, they both have, Leslie's got 3, I think. Yep, Leslie's got 3. You've got a second timer that Leslie's produced here, Our Bab, and Kerry Breon, new appointment, who was a winner at Colonial back in mid-July. New appointment comes back again off of a handicap try in the Rouse. This is a good, this is a very good group. And Lizzie Voss, who really hasn't started many at all this year, but Lizzie's got one. And then there's also a nice handicap, which is the opener, 12-15. And just looking here if there's anybody we're familiar with. Jack Fisher brings Welshman. And, oh, Pete Moss. There's Pete Moss for Kerry Breon.
Yeah.
Lizzie Boss has got Telegram Boy, who's been away, has been away a year and a half. Nice to see Telegram back. The Quality Road gelding that Graham Motion originally had. And, a little bit of Kate Dalton and Bernie with Seb's Welcome as well. So a couple of very good jump races to start the action today at Colonial. Jess, good luck. I appreciate it, and we'll talk soon.
Thanks, Steve. Good luck to everyone.
Jessica Paquette. You follow Jess, J.M. Paquette. Colonial Rosies, and another big Monday with the combination of the Monmouth action. So the Monmouth, so again, here's the races, and you're looking at Leg A starting at Monmouth at 3:49. That's the 5th at Monmouth, then the 7th at Colonial, the 7th at Monmouth, the 8th at Colonial. So 5-7 at Monmouth, 7-8 at Colonial. And before scratches at Monmouth, the 9 horses and 8, there is an MTO. Claudio Gonzalez sends Devious as an MTO in that 7th. And the 2 big field, 13 horse fields at Colonial. This should be tough. And that pick 5, I just printed it out. I mean, there's so many different things to be involved in here. And John Dooley is going to join us next to throw the hat in the ring as if Philadelphia is not enough. And the Monmouth Colonial, how about a pick 5 carryover at Indy? Yeah, it starts in race 4, and we haven't talked to John in easily a month, so I wanted to give him a chance. And there are 2 stakes as well coming up on Wednesday at Indy. So we'll get a glance at that, the Peony and the Bushero. And Bushero's babies are starting to, right? They're starting to pop up. 12 horse fields, both. And hopefully the weather doesn't threaten those either. In fact, let's take a look at Shelbyville and see how it shapes up. Just because they, you know, very frequently they run into trouble. No. Whoa. Holy cow. It is gorgeous. Gorgeous in Indiana. 80s. And clear the next 4 days. So no worries at Horseshoe about turf issues. Casey's trying for John. All right, well, I'm late, to be honest. I think I told him 11:15. So because I wasn't sure. Mig was unsure if he was going to be able. So maybe we... Oh, no, actually, I really blew it. I actually told him 10:45, so that's my fault. All right, so we're only an hour late. You know what I'll do? I'll tell him that I meant 10:45 Central. I don't know. Because you know, I'm so used to John Dooley being in Central time. I mean, all those years, right, at Chicago and New Orleans. I love it. All right, so we'll see. If we don't get John... I'll touch on this in a second. I'll save it. Yeah. All right. Casey's trying. Here, let me just tell him. listen, you have this kind of deck. We had a huge weekend. Come on. We're excited about later today. 4:39, we're in the nightcap at Presque Isle, our first start there. I forgot to send silks like an idiot. I didn't send the, we sent the horse, didn't send the silks. So I have no idea. Jerry, maybe we'll either house silks or maybe Jerry Brooks will saddle with whoever, maybe one of his jackets. So I thank Jerry, though, for taking Kid Chocolate. He lined up Antonio Gallardo. Couldn't be happier to have. I don't think, and I'm just trying to think about Tampa. I don't think Antonio Gallardo's ever ridden for us. You know, we had a few Tampa starters, Rosemary Holmeister, Jr. Who else Tampa? I'd have to go back and look, but... He's 6-1, which seems like the right price. I, you know, the horse that scares me in here is on the rail. That Jingle Bells. I thought that Jingle Bells was a little tough in here. The 7-2 favorite outside popping for Susan Cooney with Pablo Morales, but. It feels like he's a good fit in here. does Kid. 62.5, nine winners of three lifetime, going a mile. And first time on synthetic. And Jerry said, I asked him on Saturday, I said, how's he getting over it? He said, training great. He said, so we're hopeful, right? So Kid later. So I got 4 hours to kill. I got plenty to do, actually. Let me, as we wait, either for John Dooley or for the other option case, I do have to get Brian Sanfratello in, too. Want to get him in. He's over at Parks by now and getting ready for this mammoth 13 race card, all Pennsylvania breds. And, of course, he also could celebrate the Pennsylvania bred that sold for, you know, for top dollar at the sale. Right? That was also part of the last couple of weeks. Another reason to feel good about the Saratoga, about the success at the Saratoga sale for the PA bred. In fact, here. Right? Let me see. No, but that's... No, not all. Full. There we go. That doesn't work. All right, I'm botching this up. Here, let's just try it this way. I don't know what I did wrong. Anyway, don't have it at my end. Let's slip in, since we're talking Pennsylvania, let me slip in those stakes from Penn National for the big, that saw the pictures that looked like a fun night. And Tim Woolley, I brought up Tim Woolley and my thoughts. And sure enough, the Maryland bred wins the Fort Indiantown Gap. That started the stake sequence for owner Harry Cassip. This is a homebred, an editorial filly. Three-year-old beating elders. And she really didn't, you know, she only got 2 pounds from the elders. It wasn't like she got a big advantage. How about Midnight Hauler for Bernie Houghton and Silmar Farm? This is a Liz Houghton Seville gelding. Now 6. And 6th career win. Taking the Lebanon Valley. The Penn Ladies Dash, Deco Strong. Flint Stites. For owners Stephen and Debbie Jackson. This is a homebred of theirs by strong mandate. 5-year-old mare. That's kind of nice. Adding, I think that might be first black type. That's nice. And they bred this one out of a Rockport Harbor mare. And so they got to be thrilled to add some black type. And then in the fabulous strike, Tim Kreiser for James Wolfe. A last gunfighter gelding. 4-year-old at 20-1, paid 41.20, wins the fabulous strike. So they had a, looks like they had a nice they had a nice handle too on their big night. So that was the Penn National action. And today, as mentioned and celebrated earlier with John Service, looking at his charges that'll go postward today, and of course we discussed the races with Chris Griffin as well. Brian Sanfratello joins us, the Pennsylvania Horse Breeders. And Brian, I know you got some rain and we took a couple of races off the turf, but it's still shaping up to be a terrific day. 13 Pennsylvania bred races.
Absolutely. It looks like we didn't get the scratch count I had wasn't much. So, I mean, we lost the Critical Way and the Marshall Jenny. I guess he's going to run tomorrow. Because he was in both our race and tomorrow's race. But other than that, you know, the races held up pretty good.
Well, yeah. You got big, huge fields, Brian. I mean, this is a really nice betting card.
Right, right. We had 142 entries, and
wow.
Every race had filled, and we have 7 stakes. $100,000 stakes. We have the inaugural running of our 2-year-old PA bred PA sired stallion series. One race for two-year-olds and one for two-year-old fillies. So that's exciting, and they'll actually be we'll be finishing off that series on PA Derby Day with two $200,000 races, and we'll be expanding that next year. So things are looking up.
Well, and when you see everybody respond this way, I mean that's what's encouraging, and the unique. Unique opportunities, for the breeders, and of course all the breeder awards that are associated with these kinds of opportunities. It counts for a lot. It helps helps cover off so many different miscellaneous expenses, mailbox money, as we call it.
Yep. And we just raised the beginning of this month. We just raised the owner bonus at Penn National. We upped that 50% from 20 to 30, so that's a nice increase for the Penn National group up there, and anyone that wants to PA Breds wants to go in. We have Chub Wagon running today, 12 out of 13 wins, and that's a nice even with Chub Wagon in there, it's a tough race. Banjo Picker, unbelievably tough. It's just a great card.
Well, and we always, whenever we're together for an opportunity like this, try to celebrate all the good things that are happening in Pennsylvania, and then some of the external forces that help contribute to that. And it took me a second, but I went and discovered what I was referring to earlier in anticipation of the visit, the Justify Colt that fetched $1.1 million from Coolmore. This was the one out of Slew's Golden Rule. And, what a nice banner headline that is, a $1.1 million Pennsylvania bred yearling.
Right, and that was Blackstone Farm that bred that horse, and they're one of our premier breeders in the state, and they had some other good horses that sold that day also. But $1.1 million is fantastic. They were ecstatic, of course. So the program is picking up. We have a brand new stallion that's coming in to PA. I'm not supposed to say until 12 o'clock when it's official, but I'll say it here. It's close enough. We have the Giants Causeway Colt, Brody's Cause, coming in to PA.
Wow.
So nice addition to the stallion roster, and we're working on some other big things also. We're working on a new stallion station in Pennsylvania. So we got a lot of things coming. How's that old saying go? You ain't seen nothing yet. Well, we're continuing to grow. So, if you have if you don't have a PA bred, you should get one by next year.
Well, and the opportunity, the next obvious opportunity to look at a catalog with a number of Pennsylvania breds will come at Timonium in October, the Mid-Atlantic Fall Yearling Sale, and there's always a good selection there. We're going to get a look at the opportunities, are going to be flowing out of there, and I'm waiting for that catalog. That catalog should drop, I would think, not too long from phasing.
Yep, and I can tell you, last year the yearling sale and the two-year-old sale, people were purchasing PA sired horses for our stallion series, and next year it's going to six races for almost $1 million total in purses for that stallion series. So I know a lot of plus we have a trainer bonus of $50,000. So a lot of owners and trainers have been, saying, "Hey, we got to get a PA sired horse." So, going well, and we're just going to keep it going.
P PABred.com for all the information you could possibly want, the stallion listings, all the programs, the stake schedule. It's all laid out there. The farm directory available, and so many different people as part of a support mechanism for those of you that want to inquire and you really don't know much about the farms in Pennsylvania, and you want to send a mare. It's September is next week, and we're really not that far. Literally, 4 months, 4.5 months, and the babies will start to drop again. So there's still time to make decisions about a program and where to drop your foals. Brian, in fact, who can people talk to if they want more information?
They can call our office at 610-444-1050 and ask for anyone there at the office. And, they'll be directed to the right person and call me directly at that line, too. So,
excellent.
And again, as you mentioned, PABred.com, we'll have the information. Our new stallion directory will be out in the end of November. So, if you're looking to breed to a PA sire, you can look through that directory. This is the time to be in Pennsylvania.
610-444-1050. 610-444-1050. PABred.com if you want to visit on the website. And on Twitter, it's PA_PHBA, Pennsylvania Horse Breeders Association, and you can follow Brian too at Breiter Farm, BRITER. Enjoy the day out there, Brian, and I will see you in a few weeks for Pennsylvania Derby Day.
Absolutely. You take it easy. Look forward to seeing you.
Brian Sanfratello, everybody, and the team at the Pennsylvania Horse Breeders Association, PABred.com, gets us to the top of the hour, and there you go, Brody's Cause. Breaking news, Brody's Cause coming to Pennsylvania. Very cool. And stop Dale Romans at Saratoga and ask him about Brody's Cause. He could wear one of those buttons. Ask me about breeding to Brody's Cause. Thanks to Brian for the visit. In fact, we did a lot of cool Pennsylvanias between Chris Griffin and John Service as well. Kevin Attard, of course, for his Queen's Plate win. Congratulations to everybody involved winning a plate, and particularly for the Attard family. This has got to be a really, really satisfying, proud moment. One for Larry in the irons and one for Kevin from the Shed Row. Graham Motion joined us as well. So did Mig and Jessica Paquette. Tremendous racing everywhere. I don't even know how you choose. I just laid it out there for you. Pick 5 carryover and more at Indy and the State card and Pennsylvania bred card, Colonial Monmouth. Take your choice, and we'll be back with you tomorrow, the Tuesday get-together. Thanks, everybody. Good luck. Talk to you in the morning.
Thundering hooves, fist pumping, and boosting your bankroll with robust weekly promotions. And offer betting tips from actual horse racing. Who are you betting on? How about an app created specifically for horse racing? Naira Bets. We specialize in thundering hooves, fist pumping, and boosting your bankroll with robust weekly promotions. And offer betting tips from actual horse racing experts. Bet all day and night, nationwide. Get the action and thrill of horse racing with Naira Bets. Free $25 Derby bet and $200 deposit match with promo Steve25. Visit NairaBets.com.
Your best racing news. It's At The Races with Steve Beck on Sirius XM Radio.
Thoroughbred horse racing is back in Virginia as Colonial Downs conducts its More Racing, More Money summer season presented by Woodford Reserve. An early week racing schedule, an average daily purse.